Hello. My name is Ferris from Greenbow, Alabama. Those sure are nice shoes. My mama said you could learn a lot about people by the shoes they wore, where they going, where they been. She said you are to walk in Jesus' footsteps to do like he did.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. That's what my mama said. Do you like shrimp?
Yes.
My friend Bubba, he knew a lot about shrimp. He'd catch them. He knew how to cook them, too. He'd barbecue them, fry them, did all kinds of things. Him and Captain Dan, after Bubba died, Captain Dan helped me. We had a boat. Named it after my girlfriend.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was Jenna. You ever play ping pong?
No.
You know what the secret to ping pong is?
I don't believe I do.
You got to keep your eye on the ball. Watch this. You ain't watching. I don't think you'll play ping pong. Would you like a chocolate?
No, thank you.
You know, Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates. You don't ever know what you're going to get.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Do you like Dr. Pepper?
Yes.
I love Dr. Pepper. But you know what happens when I drink too much Dr. Pepper?
No.
I have to belch.
Well, let's hope you haven't had any.
Well, I enjoyed talking to you, but my bus is coming and I got to go.
Okay. Run, Ferris, run! Run, Ferris!
Your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. Thank you, young folks. That was good. Y'all just stick to singing and leave ping pong to Miss Ann, okay?
Philippians chapter 2. Life is like a box of chocolates. When you found that, let me know by standing and we'll read, starting in verse 5, we'll read together. Have this attitude in Christ yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and those on heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Lord, we just come before you, just taking a moment to lift you up and acknowledge you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And thanking you, Lord, that we're able to be here tonight. Thank you for each and every one. Thank you for those who's watching by television. Thank you for those who are around the world, Lord, are exalting you. Every nation, every tongue. And Father, we just pray tonight as we examine your word, that we can remember these things. And Lord, that we can put them to work for your honor and for your glory. We ask your Holy Spirit to continue to move in our midst and to you to do the speaking. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless someone as you're being seated. Well, in Romans chapter 12, it tells us that we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. That really we're just made from the dust of the earth, and when our bodies die, they're going to return to dust. We're just common people. And tonight I'm going to use some illustrations to share with you, but I want you to think about one of them. I want you to think about commentators. And when you think about commentators and famous commentators, you know, you go back, if you're old enough, Walter Cronkite was a famous commentator. And now you might watch Bill O'Reilly. You might watch Glenn Beck. You might watch some of them. But tonight I want to speak to you about a special commentator. And right here it is. This is a commentator. There's nothing special about this. It's just a plain old tater. But you know what? That's the kind of people God uses. He uses people just like you, just like me, that's not real famous or not anything special. As a matter of fact, he chose Joseph, a plain old carpenter, to be the earthly father of Jesus. And if you look about Mary and you want to find out about all the great things Mary did, just a lowly handmaiden. And when you think about the ones that come to see him, yeah, we had the three kings, but the first ones there was the shepherds, the people of the sheep, just common folks. And the Bible always tells us that God uses the common things, the simple things of the world to confound the wise. And he can use you just like you are. Now, the second one I want to talk to you about tonight is really special. This one is gift wrapped. And when I think about it and I gift wrapped it, I wanted it to be like that so you would remember. And you think about how Jesus came on earth as a baby and came to this earth and lived as a man, because in this side of this box is a new potato. Or if you're from the country, it's a new tater, whichever you prefer. But you know the thing about new potatoes is that whenever we ask Jesus into our heart, the Bible says old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new, and God casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, and we're fresh, and it's just like being a brand new potato. But you know the thing about these little potatoes? Their skin is very thin, and they're real easy to scratch and real easy to hurt, so you have to take care of them. They're just like a little child, somebody new. And so as we think about that, Ephesians tells us, grow up in all the aspects of Christ, of him who is the head. In 2 Peter it says, but grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then 2 Peter says, just like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word so that you can grow up in respect of your salvation. That's what he calls us to do. It's his word that grows us up. Now, can you imagine being in the third grade 3 years, never going on? Matter of fact, that was the three hardest years of my life. I don't know about y'all. But can you imagine that? You never move up. You never grow on. Everybody, nothing changes. You never grow because you had the same class over and over and over and over. But God wants us to grow and dig into his word, and his word is the foundation that teaches us to handle all the things that come up before us. That's why David said he hides the word in his heart so he would not sin against God. If you don't know it, if you don't know the instructions, then you don't know how to get help. And you know, life truly is like a box of chocolates. You don't ever know what you're going to get. You can't control your circumstances, but you know, you can be like a thermostat. A thermostat can't control how hot it is outside, but you can turn it down and do something about it. And that's the way you are. You have the opportunity to have a positive mental attitude, to take things and look at them for the best way and do things. How many of y'all know what WWJD means? It's not Wesley Woodard, just do it. It's what would Jesus do? You didn't know that, did you, Wesley? What would Jesus do? That's a great thing for attitudes. When you run into these troubles and the trials, and they will come, you can check out what Jesus would do and follow him, because the word is his foundation. Now, I got another tater. I got to unwrap this one. I've got to keep it out of the light, because this is a seed tater. Did you know that if you tuck this and you cut it up, and all these little things right here are called eyes, and you take that one And then you take this one, and you take this one, and you plant those in a hill, then they'll grow up and there'll be a whole bag of potatoes. And that's what God wants you to do. He's called all of us to be seed potatoes, to go out. And he said, in the sower and the seed, when they went out and sowed these seed, and some fell on rocky ground, they didn't do anything. And some fell beside the road, and the birds come and ate them up, they didn't do anything. He said, some started out good, but they got choked out and they didn't do anything. But some produced 30, 60, and 90-fold. So you got to decide which one you're going to be. Are you going to be the minority? Because it was the minority, one out of four, that actually did something for the kingdom of God and reproduced themselves 90 times. Now that would be awesome. If you come back someday and you look back at yourself and you see all these guys, and Bill and I were talking about, one of the greatest things to do is to go back and see somebody else you've discipled, to come along and see them in ministry and see them grow and see them being used for God's kingdom. That's how we multiply, and that's what God calls us to do. And he promised us, he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You've got to do that. All I saw the last golf tournament today was a guy, he hit it on the green and they were already clapping, and he had his wife and his little baby and he knocked in the putt. And then I told Pam, I said, turn it up. I don't know why, I don't even remember the guy's name, but I said, turn it up. And he took his hat off and the baby stopped crying and they had him the microphone, and he took his hat off and he said, the first thing I want to do is give glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because I would not have been here without him. Wasn't that awesome? And that's what he calls us to do. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, he didn't go beyond that. He didn't give a 30-minute sermon or spiel, but we can give glory to God in everything we do and let people know that who we are following. And he promises us, if we don't grow weary in well-doing, that we will reap. Now, I'm going to show you another potato. And this potato is all those, one of those positive attitudes. Anybody going to help me with this and what we got right here? A sweet potato. That's what God all wants us to be. Little sweet potatoes. Now I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Just a few pages back. And this is what a sweet potato looks like. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now that's what God wants us to be. And I want you to think about something. Some of you young folks never heard this saying, but I want you to remember it. You can catch more flies with honey than you can vinegar. Now, what does that mean? It's the same thing that he says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You need to remember that. And when you're tired and you're upset and you feel bad, try a little kindness instead of harshness. And just be kind to one another and remember the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. If you'll do that, you'll be amazed how successful and how God can even turn a bad thing into a good thing if you'll simply do it. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about bad attitudes now. We're going to shift gears. And some of you girls and boys that have seen this, don't you help your parents, because I want to see if they can pass the test, all right? Y'all know what kind of tater this is? It's a spectator. I thought surely y'all would get that one. I'm telling you, a spectator. Now, what does a spectator do? Nothing. It's another word for couch potatoes. And it's another word for pew warmers. And God don't want no pew warmers. He wants people to be excited about God and do something. I went to a church one time that was so dead that somebody had a heart attack and they called 911 and the ambulance come and they carried out 9 people before they got to right one. I shouldn't have said that. That's not in my thought. But anyway, God don't want us to be that. Listen, if you're a child of God, doing nothing is not an option for you. It really is not. God's called you to reach your community, to reach your people. We got 50,000 folks waiting for us. You got people that work with you that are there that God needs you to help. And he says in James, be you doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, when we think about doers, we think about going out and knocking on doors and teaching Sunday school classes and doing all this. But you know what the main thing he wants you to do? Obey what he says. Not just read his word, but obey it. But to live it. And to do what he's called us to do that way. If we'll do that and we'll follow his word, that's the most important part. Then, when we're obedient, he can use our gifts and our abilities and our talents for his honor and for his glory. And that's when we'll be successful in the Lord. Now, I've got another one for you in a bad attitude, and I don't have a tater like this. Maybe y'all can figure out one for me. But that's a dictator. And a dictator is somebody that always tells everybody else what to do, but they never want to do anything themselves. And they always want things this way. Well, you should have done this, and you should have done that. And they sometimes known as the gift of criticism. And God's not looking for that. He's looking for people that can work in unity and work in harmony. And he don't like it when we always say, I want it my way. Now, I want you to look. As a matter of fact, I want you to turn to Isaiah. I'll give you a minute to get way back there. But this is where the whole problem started, with somebody who wanted to be a dictator. And we know him as the devil. And in Isaiah, in chapter 14 and verse 12, it always helps if I give you the chapter and the verse, don't it? It says, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly and recess to the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And God said, nevertheless, you shall be thrust down into hell, into the recess of the pit. The devil himself wanted to be above God. And you know, sometimes you ever catch yourself telling God what he needs to do instead of asking him what he wants us to do? If he is Lord and he is your Lord, that old thing about God is my co-pilot don't work. He needs to be the pilot, and he needs to guide us every day. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife, but in lowliness of mind, esteem one another better than yourself. Paul dealt with that in Galatians when he said, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How did he do that? He had to crucify himself every day. I want to tell you something. If you try to live in the flesh, it'll never happen. That's why God said you must be filled with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, because it's only then, that we can make it. He told his disciples, your flesh is willing, but your spirit is weak. Or did he say, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak? The point of being is, you can't do it through the flesh. You have to do it through the Spirit of God to lead you and to guide you. Now, I'll give you another tater if you're writing these down. And we don't never do this in the office. It's called agitators. We never talk about football games or aggravate one another or nothing like that. But agitators, what does agitators do? Well, you can have a little fun being an agitator, but you can also go against God's word and take it way too far. Because he said in Matthew, it is not what goes into a mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of it. In James, he said, a tongue can be like a fire that defiles the whole body. He also tells us in James to be swift to listen and slow to talk. So when somebody's telling you something and it's not what you need to hear, it's not gossip, you know, what would be wrong with just saying, I don't want to hear that? How hard is that? Just say, I don't need to hear that. You know, I always heard my uncle one time told me, he said, you don't ever say anything about anybody if you can't say something good. But he did say, now I don't talk a lot, but you can look for the good things in people. And that's what really God wants us to do. In Proverbs, he said, who guards his mouth and keeps his tongue, his soul will be, keeps his soul from trouble. Proverbs 6:9 says, God hates a false witness who others lies and spreads gossip among the brethren. And then he goes on to say in Psalms 15 that, Lord, who shall dwell in your tabernacle? Those who walk uprighteously and do righteousness and who speak the truth. Those who backbite with their tongue and does evil and takes up reproach against his neighbor will not. That's pretty serious. God says if you're born again and you're out here and all you're doing is talking bad about everybody and everything and looking at everything, you need to examine your heart because it's not where it needs to be. Now I'm going to share another one with you. These aren't exactly what they look like in the bowl, but if you fix them, these are mashed potatoes. You know what mashed potatoes are? They're the ones that's been hurt. Probably church members. It's been said that the church is one of the worst to shoot their wounded. But somebody gets hurt, and instead of helping them, we end up talking about them, talking behind their back, not encouraging them, and we just mash them down to the point they're like this, and they're hurt, and they're not any good for anything. God deals with that in Galatians chapter 6. I want you to turn there with me. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Sometimes we get all high and mighty and think, well, we're better than anybody else, and, you know, they shouldn't mess up and they shouldn't do this. And, you know, I myself said, well, people have done this, and Lord, they've done that twice and they've done that three times. What's the deal, you know? And then a friend of mine who I was walking with said, like, did you not sin today and yesterday and the next day? Because we all do, don't we? Every one of us falls short. Now, is it good to just sin? God said, no. But we're to stop that, and we're to not to beat each other down, but encourage and build everyone up so that they won't do that anymore. That's how you correct it, and that's how you work with it. He's pretty serious what Brother Andy said the other day. He said in the Lord's Prayer, if we forgive others, then God will forgive us. But if we don't forgive others, then He won't forgive us. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'd rather be forgiven by God and walk in His glory and His honor. Then I got you a couple of more, and then I'll be done. What kind of tater is this? Well, it's actually just a swiveled up potato. But you're on the right track. You know how these things happen when they all get all swiveled up? You know how that ends up going? John chapter 15 says, if you abide in me and my word, then you'll produce much fruit, but without me, you can do nothing. So what happens is when we stop praying and we stop worshiping and we stop giving, we stop going, we stop serving, and we stop obeying, and probably worst of all, when we stop forgiving, then we begin swiveling up. And the next thing is a rotten, bitter potato that nobody wants to be around. Remember that. You've got to build yourself up. And you build yourself up in the Lord. He also told us, he warned us, he shared with us in Matthew chapter 5 that you're the salt of the earth. But if you lose your savor, then you're going to be good for nothing and trodden under man. Now I got one more. You folks in the front row will have to help them because they can't see this one from the back. A French fry. A fried tater. That's the ones that go to hell. You don't want to be a fried tater. Somebody help Todd. He's just now getting it. Bless his This one's the most serious of all, because seriously, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that through him the world might be saved. He who has the Son has life, but he who does not is condemned already. The most important choice you'll ever make in your life, the only choice that's really going to matter for eternity, is to ask God to forgive your sin and come into your heart. He said the wages of sin is death, and that is hell, the lake of fire. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. None of these others are going to matter unless Jesus is living in your heart, because he's the one that has power over death and over hell and over the grave. Let's stand together. We're going to come and have a song at this time. Mike and Bill's going to be down here to pray with you. And you know, if you're struggling with one of these attitudes, maybe it's a bad attitude and you're just struggling with it, and you need to pray and come and ask God to help you with it, don't be afraid to do that. This is God's house. This is like at the foot of your bed. You can come and pray and meet him here. Somebody will pray with you. And maybe you just need a little touch to be a little sweeter. But whatever God's laying on your heart, and maybe, you know, Lord's led you here and this is where you need to be. He spoke to you tonight. You need to just make your church home. And maybe, just maybe, you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior. And you'd simply walk down to one of the ministers and say, I want to trust Jesus. They'll help you and they'll lead you. Father, we just come before you tonight thanking you for your goodness and love. And Lord, we just pray as we come together tonight. Father, I just pray we'll be obedient to the Holy Spirit as you lead us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.